So how many of you have ever kind of undertaken the task of cleaning up an area or a room in your house? You know, we've all got the drawer, right? Everybody knows what that is. That had an area has just become a catch-all. Or maybe I should ask it this way. How many of you need to undertake that kind of project, a room that you need to go through? Well, if you've ever done that, you've probably encountered a few things. You've encountered, depending on the situation, maybe a lot of stuff that you know you just need to get rid of. And that's probably the reason in a lot of cases that we start going through that thing is because we know there's just stuff in there I got to get rid of. But in going through that, you also find things that you need to hold on to, things that maybe you were looking for something and that's why you started this project, things that you know you need to keep, but maybe they need to be put, you need to get them out of that room so that they're actually useful. And then you also run into things that just cause you to go down memory lane. You know, they cause you to think back on when you got that item or where that popped up. I guess you could say it this way. You found some things that need to be released, some things that need to be retained and maybe relocated and reprioritized, and some things that just cause you to remember. Well, we don't need to just do that in our own homes, in our physical spaces. There's a sense in which we very often need to do that in our spiritual lives. And while I am not one to give into the kind of cliche New Year's sermon, I know probably some of my fellow pastors are preaching sermons, New Year, New You. With this being New Year's Eve, and that just kind of fitting, it seems like a good time to reflect on the year that's passed and the one to come and take a look at our walk with God, where we've been, where we are, where we're going, and hopefully through all of that, kind of discern where it is that God wants us to be and all of that. That does seem like a good time to do that, so I'm going to succumb, at least on some level, to that new year, new you kind of theme. And the passage we're going to look at this morning out of Colossians 3 really does give us a lot to look at that kind of would help us maybe take a little bit of inventory and discern maybe some of the things in our lives that we need to release, some of the things that we need to retain, and some things that we just need to remember. And so I want to look at Colossians 3. We're going to read the first 14 verses. And as we do that, I'm sure Paul didn't have this clutter room metaphor in his mind when he was writing this chapter, but it does seem to fit. So as we read through this and reflect on these words for just a few moments, kind of keep in the back of your mind what it would be like if you were to go through a spiritual room in your house to kind of see what things you need to kind of prioritize and maybe get rid of as we read through this. So Colossians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1, Paul says this: "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we kind of take inventory of these rooms, so to speak, in our lives spiritually, we're probably going to find some things similar to what we would find if we were going through a room in our house. We would find those things that we know we need to get rid of and things we need to retain and things we need to remember. But before we get into that, one of the things that we need to do is kind of lay the foundation. And Paul does that right off the bat here in chapter 3. He wants to give us the context. He wants to give us the purpose for why we're doing all of this. There could be any number of reasons that cause you to dive into a room that you haven't looked at for 6 months because you just need to get it cleaned up. But Paul wants to set this out for us right away. And he says this in verse 1. He reminds us that we have been raised with Christ. And he starts it off, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Some translations will use the word therefore. Therefore, since you have been raised with Christ. Now, in saying that, he's assuming something. That word implies that the people that he is addressing they've had some specific experience with Jesus. And me even saying this makes some assumptions about how we process this. It's an assumption of a spiritual reality. If we have placed our faith in Christ, we have experienced two things. We've experienced a death, but we have also experienced new life with a whole new set of priorities, with a new perspective, with a new place to live. And Paul wants to set that out right away. He wants to tell us that we no longer are of this old way of life. We have been raised with Christ to new life. And so that should inform everything, every decision, everything that we're going to look at throughout the rest of these verses. That's the perspective. Those are the lenses that Paul wants us to see. And it's this knowledge and this experience of being made alive in Christ, that is what gives us the ability, it's what gives us the strength, it's what gives us the will to be able to do the things that we need to do to sort through some of this stuff. Paul tells us that since we have been raised to new life in Jesus, we need to set our minds and hearts where He is, on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now that word "set" is in the present imperative tense, which means it's something that we do. It's not something that we have done. It's something that we are continuing to do. We are told to continually focus on the things that are above, because that's where Jesus is. Verse 1 tells us to set our minds, which refers to our attention and our thoughts. Verse 2 tells us to set our hearts. Some translations use the word affections. I like that word, affections, because that really communicates what Paul is getting at when he talks about setting our hearts. We're told to focus our thoughts and our attention and our affections on heavenly things, on things that bring glory to God, the things that are of Him. Now, a quick look at some of the verses that follow in chapters 3 and 4 about what Paul is getting at, the types of things that we should set our minds on, and things that we are to pursue. He says this: we're to pursue a clean, holy life, a deeper knowledge of Jesus, godly virtues, holiness in our domestic life, holiness in our social life, an effective prayer life, and a fruitful witness. Those are the things that we are to pursue to set our minds and hearts on. And you'll find that. You'll find, if you were to read farther in chapter 3 and in chapter 4, you would find those things listed. In other words, what Paul is telling us is that we are to live like Jesus. We're to live out the fruit of the Spirit in our lives every day as we give our attention and as we set our affections on these spiritual and heavenly things. God, by His grace, enables us to live the way that Paul is talking about. We live heavenly, holy, God-honoring lives. And we are the thing that we're supposed to do, what we need to do, is we are to allow this heavenly perspective to govern everything that we do. Every decision, every activity, every plan, every purpose is to be considered and seen through the light and the perspective of eternity. We're to lay everything out before God and consider it not from an earthly, sensual perspective, but from the viewpoint of heaven. We are called to become heavenly minded and heavenly hearted. And the reason that that's possible is because of where Jesus is. Jesus is our direct connection to all of the things that we need to make that possible. From his place at the Father's right hand, this is one of my favorite things about what Jesus does. Do you know Jesus prays for you? He is our intercessor. I'm thankful. I know you guys pray for me, but man, if Jesus ever stopped praying for me, I would be in trouble. And so would you. He prays for us, and he gives us all that we need to live for him in this world. Amen. Yeah. And all of this is also possible because, as I said, if we have placed our faith and trust in him, the life that we live now is his life. We don't get a second-hand life. Jesus was resurrected from the dead after 3 days. That's the life we get. Amen. That's the life we live. That has to be our foundation. We can't enter into looking at any of this if that's not in place, if we're not living this new life. And so as we prepare to enter this new year and as we look back and look at these things, may God help us to realize or to know for sure that we have experienced this new life and that we are walking in these ways. And may that realization not only change us in the next year, but in every year that God gives us from here on out. So since we have that as our foundation and purpose, now we can kind of get to work and look at these things that we might need to get rid of and things we need to hold on to. The first thing that we find as Paul lays this out, as we clean and take inventory of our rooms, is that we're going to find several items that just we have to let go. In other words, some things need to be released. Now, some of those things might just be distractions. Some of those things might just be things that we have allowed to get in the way of who God wants us to be. Some things are just plain trash. We have to get rid of them. There are some things that really try hard to attach themselves to our lives. And those things, according to Paul, really just need to be kicked to the curb. At a more serious level, it's not just that the problem is not that just those things are distractions or they get in the way. Some of those things ultimately lead to death. And so Paul uses some strong language here to tell us what he thinks we need to do with those things. We need to kill them before they kill us. And so he gives us quite a list here in verses 5 through 9. I want to look at this list again. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, evil, or lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." Paul starts off with a bang there. In sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, in short, all of those things are idolatry. Which is really, when you stop and think about it, is the root of where all of those things come from. The sin that we allow into our lives comes almost always when we choose to worship something other than God. For most people, the thing that they choose to worship is themselves. We are our own idols. And so Paul kind of lumps this. He lists all these things individual, but he really lumps them together under idolatry because that's in essence what they are. We're worshiping something other than the Creator. Paul says we need to kill that stuff at the root. And then he gives us a reminder. He says, you know, at one point in your former life, those things probably may have had a place. You used to walk in those things. You used to live in those things when you lived a different life, when you lived at a different address. But now, because you have been raised with Christ, and there's the why again, there's that foundation that Paul wants to remind us of. He wants to remind us, now that you have this new life, no more. Those things have to die. Those things have to be gotten rid of. And it's important to remember that what Paul is listing here, he's not just listing this arbitrary list of things that if we just do all of these things, or not do all of these things, I guess, then we're good little boys and girls. Because you realize you cannot do all of those things and still live at the wrong place and still live the old way of life. Back in chapter 2, Paul kind of puts that mindset to rest. He tells the Colossian believers that this is about the foundation. This all comes out of the life that Christ has given us. We've been raised with Christ, and since that's the life that we now live, the fruit that our lives bear need to reflect that life. That other stuff, that belongs to somebody that we are not anymore. And so we need to be careful that we don't just look at this list and say, well, I don't do any of these things. I'm okay. Well, that if the first thing that Paul says in this chapter is not true about you, you're still dead. You're still prone to those things. You're still susceptible to those things in a way that you would not be if you were living a new life. I mean, even those of us who live that new life face temptation, and we look at those things, as I said, from a different perspective. The point of all of that is this. The heavenly life that we're looking to live, this true spirituality, it does not come from just a mere list of rules that we keep. It comes first and foremost from the fact that we have been made alive in Christ. We have died to all of these old things, and we live a new life that Christ Himself has given us. True spirituality comes from knowing Jesus and allowing Him to live His life through you. In that list again, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desires, and greed, which is idolatry, Paul adds a couple other things to that list, if we kept reading there. He says, which are really things that all of those behaviors tend to lead to. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, and lying. If we are worshiping all of these idols of sexual immorality and lust, and it's probably going to manifest itself in one of those behaviors. If any of these things are true in your life or are in your room, Paul says they need to be put away. Not just put away, they need to be put to death. They will hinder our walk with God at the very least. And if not dealt with, they will lead to death. So the question is, how do we find victory over these things? How do we get past these things? Well, the first step that we can take, or the first right step, is that we submit them to Christ. Since Paul's already told us that our life is hid with, that's the life we now live, he's the one who has the authority to tell us what to do with those things. He's the one who can, and not only has the authority to tell us, he has what we need to equip us to get rid of those things. We have to submit them to him. His life is our life. His perspective is our perspective. And the next right step that we can take is to intentionally starve those things. Like, go, by the grace of God, go out of your way to not feed anger and rage, to not feed sexual temptation and lust. And and the positive side of that is not just to starve those things, it's to fill our hearts and minds with other things. When Paul tells us to set our minds and set our affections on the things above where Christ is, he wants us to, instead of focusing all of these things he's listed, we need to fill our minds and hearts with things that are so much better, things that reflect the life that we now live in Christ. When we focus our affection on the things of God, one of the things that we come to realize is that He is a much better love than anything the world has to offer. The more we do that, the more we fill our lives with positive things, the less and less room evil has to flourish. Good will just swallow that up. So these are the things that need to be released as we take inventory. But it's not just about throwing things out. That might have been our intention, our first goal in entering the room and going through. We know we need to get rid of some things, but it's not just about getting rid of things. Since we have been raised with Christ, there are also some things that we need to remember, we need to retain, and we need to reprioritize. That's what Paul gets into next. As we dig deeper, part of what's wrapped up in that, and for us to really know and understand some of those things that we need to retain and reprioritize, is that we have to take a walk down memory lane sometimes. We're going to find some things that we're like, oh, I forgot all about that. Oh, man, that brings back fond memories. Maybe the memory is the day that you stepped out of death into life. The joy that you felt, the overwhelming love of God that you experienced in that moment, or the peace. Those are things that Paul says we shouldn't just remember as if it was just something that we could only experience in the past, but they're things that we need to pick up again, retain, maybe relocate in our lives, and reprioritize. If we just remember them, you know where they're going to stay? In the past. If you just leave that thing that you found in the room, oh, I know I needed that. We just pack it away under all of the junk that we couldn't bring ourselves to get rid of, and it's never useful again. We have to pick those things back up, and as Paul says, put them on. Verses 12 through 14 give us a list of things that Paul calls us to do, and to use our current metaphor, to remember, retain, and reprioritize. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone of you has a grievance, or if anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's also quite a list. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and on top of all that, love. Paul says love is the glue that holds all of that together. So if we were looking at this as a list, even though Paul puts that last, it's really the top thing. We need to remember that because God first loved us, we are to love one another. We are to remember, as Paul says elsewhere, that love is the most excellent way. Yeah. Love for God and love for people should be the defining characteristic of a person who is walking in new life with Jesus. We should love patiently, with humility and with gentleness, with compassion and kindness, and we should lovingly forgive. And if we, as we find as we go through our room and we take inventory, that love has been misplaced or lost, we need to go right back to the foundation. And remember that since we have been raised with Christ, that's where we're going to find it, where He is. We have experienced love if we have been raised with Christ, and as a result, the life we live now is and can be a life of love. We need to, as Jesus reminded the church at Ephesus, remember and return to our first love. And if you're wondering what all of that looks like, we see it, as I said, in the one that we've been raised with, the one who is resurrected and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. When we were raised to new life, we were given a new life. We were given a new place to live. We were ushered into the very presence of God because of Jesus. But sometimes, just like the room in our house or that drawer, that life can get cluttered. Things need to be released. We pick up things along the way that we know we should have gotten rid of a long time ago. We discover things that, and some of those things don't just need to be released, they need to be incinerated. We find things that we need to pick up, things that we need to put back into practice that are part of that life. And sometimes that takes just pausing and remembering why we had all of that in the first place. It's because we received it in this new life that Jesus gave us. All of these things Paul calls us to put on are things we have been given to equip us to live out this new life that we have been raised to live. Sometimes it can be hard to remember why all of that is important. And Paul reminds us right in the middle of that, we kind of skipped over it when I read the first list and the second list, Paul reminds us of that in verse 4, what all of this is leading to. This world is not the best there is. I don't even have to say that out loud for you to agree with that. We might have to deny our flesh down here. We might have to battle Satan down here. But when Christ, who is our life, appears, when we see Him in all of His glory, and all of these things we've had to release or put to death or even put on, all of that will make sense. The struggle will be worth it. One day the battles will be over. I want to say that again. That felt good to say that. And I was hoping for more amens. One day the battles will be over. This flesh will be changed and it will be remade in the very likeness of the resurrected Christ. We'll leave this world with all of its cluttered rooms and its sin, its evil, its problems, its devil. And we will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. That's a lot to take in. That's a good way to ring out an old year into a new one, though, isn't it? So as we stand here on the cusp of a new year, as we say goodbye to the old one, we need to take a good hard look at our lives and the rooms and what we've allowed to kind of clutter those rooms at times. Are there some things in your life that need to be released? Are there some things that need to be incinerated and just put to death? Do you need to lay down some of those things mentioned in this passage? Are there some things in your life that need to be retained and reprioritized? Does your focus need to be adjusted? Where is your attention and where are your attention and your affections focused? Are there some things in your life that need to be remembered? Do you need to take a trip down memory lane and nail a few things down? Maybe go back to that place where God gave you that nice new shiny room in life. Or maybe you're wondering what all of this is about. That whole idea of a new life, it sounds great, but you just don't know what we're talking about. Well, the good news is because it looks like we're going to be given another year, there's time to figure both of those things out. So whatever the needs may be today, if you need to look at that room in your life, or maybe you just want to experience what that life is all about, you're thinking, man, I would love the problem of having a nice shiny room that I have to declutter every once in a while. Well, there's good news. You can enter into that new life. So whatever those needs might be, my prayer is that we would listen to the voice of God, and that we would do what He is telling us to do. And everything that He tells us to do, He equips us to do. And may we seek to make 2024 the best year of our lives. That's another one of those cliches. This is going to be the best year ever. Well, maybe that's, I pray that's the case. I pray that's the case in your walk with God. I pray that's the case for us as a church, that this is the most blessed, fruitful year we've ever experienced. Not because we want people to talk about Canton First Church of Nazarene. We want people to talk about God. We want people to see the one who has raised us to new life. And so whatever God may be calling you to do this morning, you can come to the altar. You know, we don't say this enough. You know, we're Nazarenes. We just operate on the assumption that the altars are open. But I think that's one of the things we need to be reminded of. If there's things you need to lay down on an altar, things maybe you need to enter into that new life, you can do that this morning. Pray with me.